This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Mrs. Mary Louise Gentile Diaz Matos. Today's date is March 31st, 2023. She's going to talk about her father's business, the apothecary shop in Lakeville. Describe Lakeville Center as she remembers it from 1950 to 1970. But first, we'll start with the hard stuff. What is your name?
My name is Mary Louise Diaz Matos. My maiden name was Gentile.
Your birth date?
January 13th, 1940.
Your birthplace?
Grace, New Haven Hospital, New Haven, Connecticut.
Your parents' names?
My mother was Mary Marcinkiewicz. She was adopted when her parents died in 1918 by a family named Sheldon, and my father was Anthony John Gentile.
Where did you go to kindergarten?
I went to the Grove School in Salisbury, Connecticut.
And do you remember the teacher?
I do. It was Miss Hyde, and then she got married, and her marriage name was...
McGreevy?
I'm sorry?
McGreevy?
No. I'm sorry, I forget it.
That's okay.
I remember it.
That's okay. Then you went to Salisbury Central?
Salisbury Central School, first through eighth grade. My teachers were Hazel Flynn for first grade. Second grade was Bette Matheson. Third grade was Fran Lemoyne. Fourth grade was Veronica Metcalf. Fifth grade was Louise Peacock. Sixth grade was Mrs. Eggleston. Seventh grade was Mrs. Minor, Elizabeth Minor. It was a split seventh and eighth grade, but I was in seventh grade. And eighth grade was Mrs. Greer.
And high school?
High school, Housatonic Valley Regional High School, 1954 to 1958. And I had Mr. Just, I had Mr. Travis, I had a lot of my teachers, I love them, Mr. Kobler from Lakeville, Miss Allen, who was my English teacher. I had Mr. Foster for 4 years of Latin.
Oh, lucky you.
And it was a great experience. I belonged to a lot of clubs, the Latin club, the drama club, the yearbook club.
And for college?
I went to the University of Connecticut School of Nursing. It was a five-year program. I was on campus in stores for 2 years. Then my clinical started. I did 1 year at Yale, and then I transferred to Hartford Hospital because Yale was just taking their own students. And I was a UConn student, and they were Mount Holyoke students. So they transferred us to Hartford Hospital,
okay,
where I did my last 2 years. And actually, it worked out very well because I got to do a lot of wonderful placements in different locations. And one of my last rotations was at the Institute of Living in Hartford.
Oh,
which
okay.
Which is what got me interested in psychiatry, and since October 12th of 1964, I have done work in the field of psychiatry.
Bless your heart.
I love it. I love it.
We need more people.
I miss it. I still do some hand-holding for my former staff.
Good.
When former patients come and they ask for me, and I will do a Zoom call or something like that.
Wonderful.
Technology.
Now, tell me about your father's business. He started in Lakeville in 1935?
He started in Lakeville in 1935 with Dr. Leverty. Mm-hmm. The drugstore was located on the bottom floor of the Holly Block. And Dad was there for, I don't really know how many years, but he and Mom got married on September 21st, 1936.
September 21st?
Mm-hmm. And Mom was kind of lost when she was here. Growing up in New Haven.
Would be different.
It was very different. So Dad had Thursdays off, and they would always go back home to see relatives and everything. And Dad was with Dr. Leverty until he closed the drugstore, and then he went to work for Andy Fair in Canaan.
Okay.
And at that time in Canaan, there was Andy Fair, and there was another drugstore that Dad helped out with.
Okay.
And then times changed after the war. He came to Sam Witbeck in Salisbury and ran this, the drugstore for Sam.
Late 40s? Middle 40s?
Right up until Dad opened the drugstore in 1956.
Okay.
The apothecary shop.
And was his business where the apothecary shop is, or was it elsewhere?
The original apothecary shop was in the Borden Building, the center part of the Borden Building. And on one side of the drugstore was Rod Aller's law firm. On the other side was the Borden real estate office. And then upstairs it was rented to the Hurlbuts. Mr. Hurlbut was a lawyer also. And then it was sort of like musical chairs. Growing up in Lakeville, the First National grocery store was where the Boathouse restaurant is now. And prior to Dad buying the business from Mr. Rudman across the street, Mr. Rudman had a grocery store and lived above it.
Right.
And then he sold his business to Morris Brickman.
Right.
Just the business, not the buildings or anything. And then when the First National went out of business, Morris Brickman bought that building and opened his store there.
And this was when your father bought the building.
Building was in 1958. Dad bought the building when he moved across the street.
I'm sorry,
1963 he bought the building. But he owned the business. He had moved the business across the street.
So it's 1956.
He opened the original
store. The business.
The business.
But he bought the building that we're talking about
yes.
in 1963.
Mm-hmm. And then...
And in that building, there were... The drugstore was on the first floor.
And then there were three apartments.
And there were two on the top and one in the middle?
One behind the drugstore.
Okay. When did he sell the business?
1976.
To?
Dick Walsh.
But he kept the building.
He kept the building. There was an agreement that Dick Walsh could rent the building from my father for 5 years, and then he would have to purchase the buildings.
Okay.
My father died in 1977, and my brother inherited the buildings.
Would you describe the apothecary shop as you remember it?
Well,
the one that we're talking about.
Well, the main one on Main Street, not
right.
The large drugstore, yes. Okay, well, my father first graduated from Pratt Institute in Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
and then he went to Yale College of Pharmacy. So Dad was always very artistic, and he actually designed the drugstore himself, the whole layout. And McKesson Robbins from New Haven, which was a big pharmaceutical company.
What company?
McKesson Robbins. They worked with Dad in planning the drugstore and putting in the products and everything. So as you came in the center door, to the right was a beautiful soda fountain, all in stainless steel with six stools that my mother, who'd never worked a day in her life, took over. And then straight ahead in big letters was a pharmacy. And to the left of the front door, at the far end, were all the cosmetics, the perfumes.
Candy?
The candy was in one of the center aisles, and personal items were in a center aisle, and then up against three windows at the far end were all of the cards and gift packaging and things like that.
Okay.
And then where the soda fountain was, there was a station for candy, gum, peanuts, things like that. And then against the front windows to the right were all the magazines and everything. And I remember my father, I always had to decorate the windows. There were five windows, and he always had to have displays in the windows. Arpège, Lanvin, Meissen used to send beautiful cutouts of their products, so that would be one window. I would do an apothecary window in the middle. Dad had some beautiful antique pieces of mortars and pestles and scales and things like that that I would put in the center. And then we did, for the spring, we did different kinds of flower designs. But it was always something to make the people feel good when they came in the store.
Yeah.
Christmas time, he loved. As you came in the front door, there was always an 8 or 10 foot Christmas tree that Herm Erickson would cut down, put the lights on, and I would decorate it with candy canes and popcorn balls so that when the children came in, they could take it. And all the windows in the front had big green wreaths with red bows.
Oh, and don't forget the outside trees.
The outside trees, yes, Herm Erickson would put the small little Christmas trees with white lights on them. And there were six of them. We went the whole front of the, right along the sidewalk, by between the sidewalk and the curb. And it was wonderful because people enjoyed it. And as a result, more and more businesses extended it.
I know it.
It was just lovely.
It is lovely. It still is lovely.
I'm so glad that they still do it. And in the summertime, you know, the kids would come in and Mom would give them their ice cream cones and things like that. There was a play group that the town ran at the ballpark. And so every afternoon they would come over and they would, my father and mother would give them treats, whether it would be an ice cream cone, a candy bar, whether they wanted some lemonade or whatever. But it was at 3 o'clock every afternoon. And they would come across the street and they would be holding hands. It was wonderful to watch.
Now we're going to move on to the main street of Lakeville.
Okay.
All right, we're going to start at Farnham Road.
Farnham Road. Growing up was Ward Finkel's garage. And John Palmer, who lived on Farnham Road, was his handyman. John did everything. He was just an incredible human being.
Yes, he was.
And then next to Ward Finkel's garage was Bill Riley's small A&P store. Mm-hmm. And then next to that, he had a small liquor store, a wine shop. And then next to that was the Barnett's department store, which was two floors. And at Christmas time, it was wonderful when Bill Rainsford would be Santa Claus. He was so perfect for the job. He and Mary didn't have children, but the children of Lakeville were so important to them.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And then after the Barnett's department store, there was the entranceway to the ballpark. Mm-hmm. And then the next building was the telegraph office, Paul Argyle's barbershop, and upstairs the Nielsen family lived. Mr. and Mrs. Nielsen, Barney Nielsen, they had four children, two sons, Peter, Joe, and two daughters, Ruthie and Rita.
Who was the last one?
Rita. Okay. And then down underneath, Carl Isaacson.
Oh, yes.
The little restaurant.
That wasn't Bessie's Lunch.
I think that came later.
So it was Isaacson first, and then it was Bessie's Lunch. And Isaacson went out onto Undermountain Road to do the Iron Duke.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the building was sold.
Okay.
And it was, next to that building was Dufort's Garage.
Right.
And that took up almost like two storefronts, basically, mm-hmm. the garage itself, right on the corner.
Yep, I remember that.
Now. Yeah. And then next to that was a small apartment upstairs, and it was a little bakery for a while, but it never really took off. And so I remember it just being as an office for a while. And then next to it was the Sauls Lake Jewelers, the Berries. At the jewelry store.
That was Sauls Lake.
Sauls Lake Jewels, mm-hmm. Jewelers. And then came Danny Lafrito's shoe shop, shoe store. And then was Borden's. Came Borden.
What about Mrs. Lafrito's house?
Mrs. Lafrito's house. That was past the shoe shop. And then it was the O'Loughlin House,
right,
and then the Bordens bought it. And then next to the Bordens was
Dylan?
No. It was I'm trying to think. It became an art place years later. I don't remember what it was. I thought it was like a private house that people only used occasionally.
It could be. Could be.
And then the Dylan House was next. And then Hugo Pavola's, where Gudrun Dunst had her seamstress place, and Hugo had his newspaper, magazine, and souvenir shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the wine shop is now.
Yes, I think so.
I don't know what happened when Hugo passed away. I know his wife died before he did. And he died
not
before my father.
And the last one in that section
was the Herrick Travel Agency.
Yeah, well, it was Abe Martin, then it went to Herrick Travel, and now it's Churchill Builders.
Right.
And then we have the gas station.
The gas station.
And we're at Petit Street.
And we're at Petit Street. You say Petit Street, we said Petty.
I've been trained.
You're probably correct.
Julia's not going to worry.
No.
Okay.
Anyway, where the Litchfield Bancorp now is, it used to be Bronson King,
mm-hmm.
the very exclusive dress shop. It was beautiful.
I'll bet.
And then next door to that was Brewer's, Dr. Brewer, no.
There's a house there.
You know, I don't remember that house being there.
I'm trying to think. It was.
I noticed it today.
Yeah.
But I remember Robinson Leach, Dr. Brewer, the Evergreens, and then Walton Street.
Right. Well, there's a house there because I used to teach with Doris Alexander, and that's where she lived. But that's.
Well,
that's
she was
not
probably
over.
Before my time. I mean,
after
my time.
Oh, yeah. Long
after
time.
After my time.
Okay. Then we're at Walton Street.
And that used to be the Harvey House.
Right.
And then Dr. Gott took it over.
And that was the professional building. And
right.
then it became the Black Squirrel, which is antiques.
Exactly.
And then we have.
Then we have the Brook.
Yep.
And then on the other side of the Brook was Bill and Mary Rainsford's house
mm-hmm.
that became Stan Sechel's house.
Yes. I remember that.
Yeah. And then next to that was the Tompkins house, the brothers, Eddie and I forget what his brother's name was, but they had a sister who lived in, I believe, in New Jersey. I may be wrong on that. But the brothers lived there, and they worked at the state hospital in Wingdale.
Okay.
And I'm assuming after they passed that it became a private house again.
Yeah, it is. And then?
Coming up the hill was Dr. Leverty's house.
Right.
And then on the corner opposite of his house, mm-hmm. It was a couple that had a daughter that actually was the same age as my sons, and I can't remember their name.
Kane? The Kanes built it. Bill Kane built that house.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I didn't know them.
Okay.
And then it was the Gear House.
Right. And then we're at Prospect Street.
We're at Prospect Street.
Okay. We're going
to
stop there.
I remember her name.
That's okay. I knew it as the Gear House. Now we're going to go back and do the right side, which we're going to start with the Gateway Inn.
Mm-hmm. That was such an incredible place.
I've seen pictures.
I remember living in the Holly Block and looking out at the people playing shuffleboard or bingo, rocking in the rocking chairs on the porch. And it was sad when it was destroyed and nothing was put up there.
There's just the walls there now.
Just walls there. And you would think that somebody would have built a private house or something there.
There is now, in the back.
Is there really?
Yeah, there's something there.
Well, the house next to it, going towards Millerton, the house, that was also...
I want to come this way.
Okay.
I want to come this way. The Holly Williams house next.
The Holly Williams house was my favorite place to play. When we lived in the Holly Block, I would go across the street, and she had a chestnut tree right on the lawn. And we used to have these beautiful flowers, and I used to make different designs with the flowers on the lawn so that my mother could see them if she looked out the kitchen window.
Oh, that's sweet.
But I walked the porch with Margaret Williams every day from the time I was about 4 years old. She would come to the end of her property, and my mother would walk me across the street.
Wise.
And then we would walk back and forth across the porch, and we would do it at 10 o'clock in the morning and 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and when I finished, I would get a cookie.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I got a little older, I remember before we moved, I was about 8, 9, she would walk me around where the stables were and behind the house, and that's where I realized that the house went up behind to Lincoln City Road.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then the Farnham Tavern,
right,
which was, I remember it being a tavern.
Oh, yes.
It was
a tavern
for years and years. People that were traveling horse and buggy.
Sure.
Through town and everything. And then it became an apartment house, and down below, Dick McHugh had a restaurant. And behind it is, I'm trying to think, is a garage where they used to put the horses in carriages.
But it was a bowling alley at one time, I think.
That
later.
Might have been later.
Okay.
But it's still in existence.
Oh, yes.
It's a garage.
Oh, yes.
And then now we're down to
the Mansfield Apartments.
Mansfield Apartments, yep. And then the First National.
Right.
And then next to what was the First National was Reed's Dry Cleaners from Great Barrington.
Reed.
R-E-I-D.
I know. They were my neighbors.
Yes, there we go. And then was Ada Emily Miller's house. And the house went front to back. Mm-hmm. And there was a porch that faced the dry cleaners. And she was the former wife of Harry Miller, who owned the Holly Block.
Harry or Howard?
Harry. H-A-R-R-Y.
Okay, and then we come to the most important business on the street.
The apothecary shop.
Right.
It really was the center of the town.
It would be.
Everybody went to Tony, and it was known as Gentiles.
Well, when I came to town, I knew it as Gentiles.
Yeah. But it was.
And I came in 67.
Did you?
Then we have
the post office.
Mm-hmm. Porter Street.
Porter Street, and then was the Blue Room and a restaurant. Leo Lemoyne owned the Blue Room, and it was known as the place where the drinkers went. But it was a nice little restaurant that he had next door, and that eventually became Mrs. Brewer ran a dress shop there. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, after the...
We want to stay on this side.
No, but it was... She only had half of the building as a dress shop. And the other half of the building, I'm not sure what it was, to be perfectly honest with you.
That's all right.
And then it was Dick McHugh's house.
There's a house between the Blue Room and the dress shop that we don't know about. Then there was Dick McHugh's house, which became Auntie M's, and now it's Kelm Real Estate.
Right. And then it was, became, let me see, all right.
The house before the parsonage.
Well, the parsonage was down further.
Yeah.
Let me
but
think.
There
okay,
were...
there was the Blue Room, but the dress shop mm-hmm. and the bar
right.
was one building.
Right.
And then it was Dick McHugh's house. And then there was another house.
That's Mrs. Hodges' house.
Yes.
And she donated it in 57 to the Methodist property.
Right. Okay. And that's part of the Methodist Church.
Yes, it was. It isn't any longer, but it was.
Really? What are they using it for?
It's apartments now.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
The Methodist parsonage has also been, I don't know whether it's been sold or whether it's rented now, but it's...
Well, that was moved.
Oh, yes, I know.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we have the Methodist church.
Right. And then you had the...
The day house.
The day house, and that became the mental health center.
Right. And now it's a private house again.
Good.
And then we have Bissell Street.
Bissell Street, and this what used to be the Savage House. He was the pastor of the Methodist Church.
Right.
Was moved down where the Lakeville Journal is.
Wait a minute.
The Methodist Church, the mental health center.
I know, but I'm okay. I'm focusing in on what was the Salisbury Bank and Trust, Dr. Bill Bissell, the son, that was a house there,
right.
And that got moved back.
And that's when they built the Salisbury Bank
right.
and Trust Company.
Right.
So in the back now should be the Bissell House, the Lakeville Journal, and
Well, Lakeville Journal's gone now.
Really?
Yeah, it's now in Falls Village.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. That building that was the Lakeville Journal, it was built in 82, is now the Salisbury Bank and Trust Department.
What happened to the Salisbury Jewelers? Did they move down there?
They moved that in the back, too. Yeah.
I should take a ride down there. I remember the day they moved that building.
So do I.
Wow. That was something. It was like the biggest thing that happened to town.
All right. We have the Salisbury Bank and Trust.
And then you've got the Brook. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was... oh, gosh, she had the plumbing business.
Garrity's.
Garrity.
Yep. And then?
Then you got the Brook, and then Dr. Noble's house.
And that's the big yellow house.
Yes.
Right.
And then next to that was Dr. Peterson's house.
And that's the stucco.
Right.
Looks like an E.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was on the corner of Orchard Street.
Right.
And then on the other side of Orchard Street was Evelyn Dan's house.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming up the hill, Dick Walsh's
right.
house. And then at the top of the hill, Nancy Peck's house. I always remembered it as Nancy's house, but it changed hands many times.
Oh, yes.
And then next to her was Newkirk Funeral Home.
Right. And then we're at Lincoln City.
We're at Lincoln City and Salisbury Central School.
Well, I know about that one.
Yes.
Okay. We've
and
done
see,
it.
See, it was interesting because I graduated from the upper school, even though I only attended the lower school because the upper school was being built.
It was built in the 50s.
Yeah. I graduated from elementary school in 1954.
That's as far as we need to go.
Okay, great.
Right. Do you want to describe the Hollybrock?
The Hollybrock?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
All righty.
The Hollybrock had three floors. The main floor, which if you're facing the building, To the left was Doc Leverty's drugstore that had a huge soda fountain and everything. It was very dark, but it still was a happy place. And next to it was Catherine's dress shop. She was the second wife of Harry Miller, who owned the building. And then there was the double doors entering the building with a big flight of stairs going up to the first floor of apartments. To the right of the main doors was Harry's plumbing business, his office, and then there was a thrift shop on the far corner.
Okay.
And down behind it was an apartment between the Holly Block and Mrs. Fish's real estate office. And on the first floor of apartments, there was Mrs. Charlton, Danny LaFrido.
Is Charlton?
C-H-A-R-L-T-O-N. And then there was Danny LaFrido. And then there was, I think their name was Smith, if I'm not mistaken.
What happened to Grandma Rudd?
She's on the other side.
Okay.
She's on the front side of the building. And her, the apartment next to her was empty for most of my time in the Holly Block. For some reason or other, I don't know why. And then next to her was Miss Roberts. And Miss Roberts was actually underneath our apartment.
Okay.
And the top floor was Mom and Dad. This is in the front of the building. The refuge room.
The what room?
It was the garbage room.
Okay.
Then Elizabeth Hobbs was at the opposite end of our apartment.
Okay.
And then across from her was Mrs. Bell, who was quite eccentric. She was very good friends. Mrs. Bell was very good friends with Wanda Landowska. They dressed similarly with their big capes and things. And then Ada Tompkins was the middle apartment.
Thompson?
Tompkins.
Tompkins.
And she had two children, a daughter and a son, that were adults and actually married when I was growing up there. And then Esther Marks, who was the housekeeper and cook for Miss Williams. And she had a daughter, Helen, that was the nutritionist at Edgewood Park Junior College in New York. So that's the Holly Block. And behind it was the Beehive.
I meant to ask you about that. What was the Beehive?
It was apartments.
How many, do you know?
I think there were six, but it was destroyed by a fire. I remember it was a horrible fire because we still lived in the Holly Block, and it was just destroyed.
And people had to go someplace else to live.
They did. A lot of people, for some reason, moved to Falls Village. Why, I don't know. But
I don't know.
I remember the Boyles lived there. One of the Dennis families who actually rerouted themselves to Ore Hill.
Alrighty.
Back there. Those are the only two families I know that I...
That's fine. I'm going to stop you there.
Okay.
Alrighty. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to thank you very much for your wonderful memory. You've done a beautiful, beautiful job.
I'm so glad that I still have it.
Oh, I am too. Believe me.
Maybe I can't walk that well.